to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, before we change the subject, I was asking you during the break, one of the reasons that I was asking, you know, why the United States is so involved in this. And, you know, there are those kind of wars going on all over the world, and we haven't gotten involved. And I was asking you, are we involved because Russia is our arch enemy? And, you know, we're trying to send a message to Russia.
Well, and clearly, for some reason we have, I mean, for whatever reasons, I guess we have decided that we are particularly, again, focused on Russia as a primary adversary, much as we were in the Cold War. So we've kind of recreated the circumstance of the Cold War, and maybe that's colored our outlook. But you look at Ethiopia right now and the Tigray uprising and problem in Ethiopia, and it's at least as big a problem. Millions of people have been displaced. It's been an ongoing problem. The ethnic cleansing is being claimed. I mean, it's serious humanitarian issues there, and yet we don't even read about it. I've just described it, and I bet you most of the listeners are wondering what I'm talking about. Where is Ethiopia, and who are the Tigrayans? So, you know, we obviously have put disproportionate focus on this particular issue, and I think it's because we've sort of been messed up in it for quite a while, going all the way back to 2012, 2014. You can just look at the extent to which politicians and people in Washington have been rolling around in the Ukraine, people making money in the Ukraine, Hunter Biden and others. I mean, the Ukraine has been the focus of a great deal of sort of private attention by the establishment in Washington, and I don't know. It seems to have led us to this point, and this point is a very problematic one.
So are there a lot of natural resources in Ukraine? I could understand if that was, you know, at the root of it.
Well, I think it's a very corrupt place, number one. So money flows in and out of it quite easily, particularly through political processes. And then politically, we've made it a hot potato with respect to dealings with Russia. And there are plenty of people, I'm sure, in Ukraine who have made quite a bit of money based on their willingness to participate in sort of a pro-West or pro-Russian, you know, the conflict that exists politically within Ukraine, which I'm sure we've had a lot to do with in terms of fostering the notion that there should be a pro-Western lean there.
So the more this is kept in the forefront of the news, the more, you know, it jerks at the heartstrings of the American people. They're not going to stop showing this. It's only going to get worse. But I think there's going to come a point in time when the American people are going to be looking at their own pocketbooks and their own survival economically, that, you know, because of what's happening with this war, that they're finally going to become a little bit bored, a little bit tired.
Well, I think we're in day like 46 or something of the war.
Right.
I mean, if this war lasted another 46 or 100 days, we're talking about it lasting quite a while, but it's a finite period of time that it can last, I believe, without it leading to just a horrible circumstance in Ukraine for Ukrainians. You know, right now the stage has been set for the war to shift to the east, we say, but when Ukrainians shift their military to the east, Kiev will now be less protected, right? So now we've got the opportunity for a much larger army that surrounds it to maybe send more men. I don't know. I mean, we've all decided that Putin has done a militarily bad job with this, but we might find out that when the war shifts to the east, that the table has been set for Ukraine to suffer great consequences in the east and the west. It's going to be, war is a terrible, terrible thing. And the invasion of Ukraine is very hard to justify. The invasion of any country is hard to justify. And, of course, we have been the invader in a number of cases, and we have apparently found the basis for justifying it. But maybe the rest of the world looking at it has as much trouble justifying the invasion as we now have for justifying the Russian invasion.
So as it moves to the east, the projections are really pretty horrible for Ukraine. What do we do? Do we then ratchet up our involvement because the horrors are going to get worse, or do we stand steadfast? Because based on the things that I've been reading and watching, it's almost like, well, it's going to get worse, and the pressure that our government is going to be under to respond by our own citizenry is something that I think we're going to have to wrestle with, and soon. The pressure that Biden is going to be under and our government. And then when you see that they brought in a new butcher who is, based on everything that I'm reading about him and seeing, his job is to come in and really kind of squash.
Well, I mean, you understand. I mean, I think this might be accurate. This guy was the general in Syria, and the conduct in Syria was very, very extreme. But you have to understand that everything we read like that is part of this information war designed to...
Oh, yeah. Vilify.
Designed to stir us up.
Right.
And that's the fine line that Biden's going to have to walk, because he spends a lot of his time waving his arms and talking about how horrifying and how awful and what crimes against humanity are being committed. And on the flip side of that, people say, okay, well then let's do something about this. Let's send in much more extensive weapons, and let's even put planes overhead. And then he says, no, let's not. So he's got to be careful. You can't stir this soup without, doing something with it.
And to his credit, he, in the face of all of it, he stood steadfast, and he hasn't wavered from the standpoint of our footprint getting bigger. He seems to understand that, in that he's not going to allow, and that's for now, and, whether or not it means that, the midterms are going to be a bloodbath for Democrats or not, he's at least cognizant.
Well, he's setting the groundwork, though, for some troublesome things. We're creating now the view that we have to get bulk up our military.
Yeah.
Our military budget's going to get expanded. I mean, this all has an echo that reminds me of now we need to rearm America because Russia's a danger to the world. I just think we need to take a grain of salt with respect to how we view things. A war has started, and now we are looking in from the outside at a war. Wars do not stand up well to analysis and to careful observation because they are ugly. When you have troops in battle, you begin to up the level of the weapons and things you do to protect your troops, if nothing else, right? So wars escalate. And this war will escalate to the extent that it is, the more successfully it is defended, the more substantially it will escalate.
You know, Sandy, all of those things.
Yeah. I mean, in Vietnam, we didn't start out carpet bombing with B-52s. That happened after the Tet Offensive, when we decided we needed to do things like that.
You know, Sandy, for those who are on the line, we're going to be joined in the 10 o'clock hour by a person of great interest who is going to talk about this in detail, whose parents were Russian Jews. And so we're going to have a great guest during that time, and we'll be able to talk even more about what we're discussing. But I want to get this in quickly. While all these things going on, there's an impending school lunch disaster. And I'm like, a school lunch disaster? How can there be a disaster with school lunch? Well, because we haven't been able to come to an agreement on how much money should be spent for school lunch. There seems to be an issue that we are spending too much money on school. And I'm like, what are we talking about here? You know, with all the money that is wasted in our country, why would we draw the line on on how much money is being spent on school lunch, Sandy. I don't. Maybe you could see something in that more than I can.
No, I see it exactly the way you do. It's funny how where we decide to draw the line on spending money, because there's some areas where there is no line to be drawn. We were just talking about one, military. Here we spend, you know, almost $1 trillion if you lumped everything right together on the military a year, and now we're going to worry about money that's actually spent in the service of our children. I mean, it's not like the money's being thrown away. I mean, if the money were being somehow removed by graft, I mean, we should make sure that the operation is well run and efficiently run. But what could be a more worthy thing than feeding our children lunch at school?
So listen to this. There's a vast underappreciated supply chain that provides for your kids' school lunches. This market has been set to accommodate D.C. because the government has made a lot of rules for the program, which feeds more than 30 million kids. During the pandemic, school lunches became harder to pull off, so Congress cut schools a break at the beginning. A lot of the requirements about what school lunch had to look like were lifted. Schools got more money to spend on food, and school lunch itself was made universally free for every kid instead of costing $1.25 or more. But now these measures are set to expire June 30th, thanks to Congress. Helena Bottenmiller-Evich, a senior food agriculture reporter at Politico, says the school administrators are really upset about these lunch adjustments expiring. Why is that an issue? Whatever it is going to cost, it is peanuts, and whatever waste is in, you know, school lunch, it can't be that much, Sandy, that it's an issue that we would be willing to cut it off.
All I know is that our parents as taxpayers were willing to pay the tax so that you and I could have our 35-cent lunch
yes.
at school.
A hot lunch. Yeah.
Every day. We had all the food groups in it.
Absolutely.
It was a good lunch.
And that's correct. And those lunches were prepared at the school sites.
Right.
Not shipped in. Not prepackaged. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Mondays. That means Sandy Williams is here. We'll be right back.